Let us pray and ask for the Lord's blessing. We will be focusing primarily on verse 25 and 26. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and we thank you for this account, this sign appointed to Jesus. We understand the difficulties that Martha and Mary and Lazarus and the people around experience with the death of Lazarus, and the understanding that there in their midst was one who could have prevented it. And yet for your glory purposes and for a communication appointing to what was going to happen in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in our blessed resurrection, we see this sign, we see this miracle. We pray that you would enable us to see you as you are, as you have communicated yourself here. I am the resurrection and the life. We thank you that we can know you. You are our life. And it is through your power that we are raised from the dead. We praise you and thank you for this time. We pray that you'd enable us to enter into that time and the message that the Spirit of God was speaking through John to the original audience, but also enable us to see and hear what it is that we are to learn as well about you, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is risen. He's risen indeed. What do you know about Christ Jesus, our Lord? Consider the first century. The people were confused. When Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" they got all kinds of answers, didn't they? Some say this and some say that. The rulers were threatened by Christ. Herod sought to capture him. Even the disciples who knew him, yet they were wrong in their understanding. How many times did Jesus have to correct their thinking? And ultimately said that I must send the Holy Spirit to teach you the things that you have already seen and heard, but to explain to you what was going on and to keep them from error. Even when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, yet there was still confusion. The Jews looked upon the Christ and were stumbled. And they misrepresented the resurrection. The Gentiles looked upon the cross as foolishness. Consider for a moment Paul, the Apostle Paul, there in Athens, as he laid out the truth, he was rejected. And what was it that stopped his conversation or his sermon? Was the moment he mentioned the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was so contrary to the thinking of the time. What do you know about Christ Jesus, our Lord? The Gospel of John was designed to help us to better understand, to know about Jesus. We have three other Gospels that pretty much follow along the same timeline and supplement each other, but the Gospel of John stands out as a very unique of the Gospels. It focuses on particular events and particular points. And one of the things that John does is he reinforces again and again that Jesus is Jehovah, or the I am that I am, at the burning bush as God revealed himself to Moses. I am have sent you. And so here is one of those I ams of Christ. There are seven of them, and that is one of the reason why we're looking here. And if you remember, the last time we looked at one of the John passages was January. And so we're coming back to this I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And again, notice there's two messages there. I am the resurrection. You see that? He is the I am, and he is the one who has all power. So the main point is in the outline there. Do you really know and understand our Lord Jesus Christ? Many have tried to place him in some neat theological box so that we can handle him. Fortunately, Christ destroys this concept. He reveals himself as someone greater than anything we could ever imagine or expect. We see that here in our account, right? Did you notice the words of Martha and Mary were exactly the same? If you were here, then my brother wouldn't have died. So they had an understanding of Jesus as healer. But yet Jesus is more than a healer. He is a life giver. So we, in this opportunity we have, to consider the seventh sign pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. First point, alive from the dead, I am the resurrection. I found as I read this passage again and again, but as I've read this passage, the testimony of Martha. She makes a public profession, if you will. She says, I know for certain. Verse 22. I know for certain that whatever God that you ask of God, God will give you. There are some that say that in the Old Testament there was no teaching on the resurrection. Many scholars say the resurrection was a New Testament doctrine, something that came up because Jesus rose. And we would say, no, that's not true. We see resurrections in the Old Testament. And in particular, we have declarations. My favorite is Job's declaration. I know that my Redeemer lives and that I will see him with my own eyes after I die. Meaning, I will be resurrected and I will see him. Here, Martha says the same. I know with certainty that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And even more amazing is what she says in verse 27. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Who said that before? And Jesus commended him for making that statement. It was Peter, wasn't it? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, you didn't figure that out on your own. No, the Father gave you that. Here's Martha, and Martha is saying, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Here we see her confession, her faith. You are the Redeemer. You are the great Prince. You are he who is to come. And Jesus responds to her, doesn't he? Revealing himself to be the resurrection and the life. Jesus promises her something, though, doesn't she, in our text? I am the resurrection and the life. He or she who believes in me, though he or she may die, they shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, stop and think. There are those that have died physically, those believers. Think of all the saints before Martha and Mary that had died believing, died physically. There was our own brother, Lazarus, was in the grave now. But there's a comfort here, doesn't it? A comfort that we can receive as well. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. It's been a comfort to me to stop and to think about my mother, my father, those who passed on before. I believe they were believers in Christ. Comfort of knowing these words of Jesus are true. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. He speaks of the resurrection right there. That's a promise that we have for those that have passed on before us. What comfort it is to us as well as to Martha. Lazarus shall live. Lazarus shall rise from the dead. Do you believe this? Jesus is asking you and me today, do we believe this? Do we believe the words of Jesus? There's many in the world today that mock the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I saw a little flash this week from someone, I'm not sure if it was a lawmaker or whatever, made a statement, Jesus was not perfect. And I was so happy that there were people that immediately responded and said, no, Jesus is perfect. If it wasn't for Jesus being perfect, there is no salvation. People still mock the resurrection. People still reject Jesus in the resurrection. But what about you? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe the promise of God who says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die? Do you believe this? He asks Martha. He asks us. If you say, yes, I believe that. I've just confessed it when I read the Nicene Creed. When we spoke the Nicene Creed, we spoke about the resurrection, did we not? Well, if you say you believe it, how does it affect your life? Question 45 in the Heidelberg Catechism, which we read a while back, ask about the resurrection. What benefit do we receive from the resurrection of Christ? First, by his resurrection, he overcame death that he might make us partakers of the righteousness that he has obtained for us by his death. Second, by his power, we are also now raised to a new life. Third, the resurrection of Christ is for us a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. But the second point, by his power, we are now raised up to a new life. What comfort that is. Again, question number 57 in the Catechism. What comfort do you receive from the resurrection of the body? That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ's head, but also that this my body raised by the power of Christ shall be reunited to my soul and made like the glorious body of Christ. Again, what comfort is there to know that he is the resurrection and the life personally? But secondly, that resurrection impacts today. And that's my second point. Jesus says, I am the life. I am the life today. John writing in his first letter states the following. First Epistle of John, chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Christ is our life. As we were reading about the Lord's Supper, one of the things that we focus on in the Lord's Supper is the giving of God, Christ's life for us. We feed upon Him. We must sustain our bodies, right? You can fast for so long. If you stop eating, you will die. If you stop drinking, you will die. If you stop breathing, some say that's the definition of death, right? When you stop breathing, you will die. We are dependent creatures, dependent upon the one who gives life. And He established bread and wine, food and drink, pointing to His provision, both a physical life, but pointing to Him as our life. Christ is our life. So what is this life? What it is not. It is not Lazarus in the grave. There are many today who are not alive. They don't have life. But yet they're walking around. They look like they're alive. You can have a great conversation with them. But yet, biblically speaking, they're walking dead men, walking dead women. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that we were all dead. Apart from Jesus Christ, but through Jesus Christ, we are raised from the dead, Paul says. We're born again. And we now have life in Christ. And that's what Jesus says here, doesn't He not? And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Why? Because we have life eternal now. Do we not? So Christ is our life. We read that earlier when Paul said that. If you then are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Why? Because Christ is our life. And when He appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. And so Christ is our life, therefore put to death those things that are on the earth that are contrary to Christ. And so Paul commands, and we read that again and again there in chapter 3. Put off all these things, put to death your members, put on the new man. These are all commands. Part of taking of the Lord's Supper is renewal in putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and making no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we are partaking and celebrating what Christ has done for us, but we're also responding to that by living for Him. Third point, alive in the world to come. Lazarus was raised from the dead. That resurrection pointed to Christ, did it not? So much so, look at verse 45 in the text. Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in Him, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." And then Caiaphas says, basically, that Jesus must die. And they also discussed killing Lazarus as well. Lazarus was raised from the dead. He points to Christ as the resurrection and the life. We celebrate the empty tomb as well as the empty cross. Christ rose from the dead. He fulfilled his mission that the Father had given him to do. He is the Word of God. He's the prophet. He was the priest who offered himself the perfect sacrifice. He is the King who rules over all things. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And if we are his, Jesus says, we shall never die. Now, wait a second. We still are going to die physically. Is there a contradiction here? Jesus says that if you believe in Jesus, you will never die. But yet it's appointed unto man once to die and then to judgment, right? How do you reconcile those two passages? Well, death is separation. What does Paul say about Christ in separation? Who shall separate us from the love of God? The answer is nothing. Not even death can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That though our body may stop functioning for a time and turn to dust, yet we live on. As Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why? Because I'm with the Lord and I believe in the resurrection of the dead, I will again be raised. My body will be raised to be like the glorious body of Christ. I love that thought. Sometimes you wonder, okay, at what age when we're raised from the dead, what age will we be? Will we be an adult? Sometimes that's a silly question to ask. The question is answered, I'm going to be like Jesus. Isn't that the more important thing? Thirdly, alive in the world to come, last point on that. Though we may die, we live. We live and believe. We live by faith. We rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many years ago, E. Stanley Jones wrote a charming, delightful autobiography called The Song of Ascents. He tells of a layman, a newspaper man, a mutual friend, who was called upon to conduct a funeral service. Being an exact man, he wanted to do it properly and in the best Christian tradition. So he turned to the New Testament as the original source and example of how Jesus conducted a funeral. What would Jesus do? Is what my notes here says. And he was surprised to find that Jesus never conducted a funeral at all. He only dealt with resurrections. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the celebration that we do in the name of Jesus. We celebrate the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, pointing to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and pointing to our own glorious resurrection. Yes, we know that we experience the fear of death, all do. We understand your word that says it's appointed to every one of us to die. And yet, we are alive now in Christ, and we will be raised and live again. Death has no dominion over you, and so therefore death has no dominion over us in you. This is the promise that you have given to us. In these words that you gave to Mary for Martha, you've also given to us, that you are the resurrection and our life. And so we pray that you would enable us to embrace that as Martha confessed, and yet she struggled. Grant us the ability to confess, to believe, and to embrace the great truth that you have risen from the dead and you are Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.